Now back to the City Current Radio Show, hosted by Jeremy Park.
Welcome back to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. We're honored to be joined by our next guest, our friend Paula Anderson. She's the founder and president of Writing by Design Media. How are you doing, Paula?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. Thank you for having me today.
So you yourself are an entrepreneur and you have a publication that goes out to help entrepreneurs. So you're an entrepreneur helping other entrepreneurs with a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. And that's a lot of big words, but give us a little bit of your backstory leading into what you're creating and now launching, obviously, in Middle Tennessee as well.
Okay, so I started working on the magazine concept in 2017. So I was attending, which I'm still attending, University of Memphis. And so public relations and advertising and journalism is something that I was focusing on. And so during that process of my education, I really wasn't able to find a client that I could work with at that time. So I wanted to use my writing skills. So that was the idea behind the magazine. And so Memphis Small Business Quarterly is the title of a publication that was birthed in Memphis, Tennessee. And so it highlights entrepreneurs that are considered to be emerging as well as enterprising. And so it was just a vehicle and a platform to give entrepreneurs who may not have access or may not get the exposure in traditional media outlets. And so that was kind of the vision behind getting it started.
And you put a lot of research into looking at what were some of the major challenges in terms of capital and marketing and PR. And so you looked at where there were gaps and then tried to obviously use your resources and expertise to start filling in those gaps. So talk about kind of the gaps that you saw that were needed with entrepreneurs and then shifting over to some of the things that you focus on.
Well, when I looked at some of the current publications in Memphis, and because I'm not of the same magnitude as some of the larger publications, I knew I could not compete with them. So what I was thinking about was, in their business sections, do they highlight African-American business owners? Is there like a consistency with featuring them? And is it entrepreneurs that are actually just getting started? So, you know, it's good to highlight a story where the revenues are $2 million. But what about that entrepreneur that's just getting off the ground and they're still in the infancy stage? And so that was the gap that I really saw within the market. And then I wanted to make sure that other entrepreneur organizations in the city of Memphis were aware of the magazine. So I kind of targeted those organizations as my go-to market so that they'll be familiar with what I was doing. And I established a lot of great relationships with, you know, different organizations. So like Epicenter and also the Tennessee Small Business Development Center. So we've tried to include the resources that they provide as well to help entrepreneurs to learn more about what they need to know as well as to share their story.
So talk about this expansion into Middle Tennessee.
So last year, we decided that we wanted to kind of rebrand the magazine and just focus on a digital publication for Memphis Small Business Quarterly. And so that's just going to be online. And so the hard copy version is going to be emerging and enterprising entrepreneurs. And so we wanted to just kind of reach out a little bit beyond Memphis. And so we're going to focus on Jackson, Nashville, and Murfreesboro. And so we just recently completed our spring summer editions, which focuses on Nashville entrepreneurs. And so we're getting ready to just kind of launch an advertising campaign starting in August, because we're really trying to penetrate this market. And now that I've learned some lessons from launching it in Memphis, I know how to do it a little bit more effectively this time.
Give us an idea when you talk about the stories you like to focus on. And obviously you mentioned reaching the entrepreneurs in Middle Tennessee, Nashville, and obviously surrounding areas. But talk about what makes a good story, what sort of entrepreneurs, talk about what you're looking for on your end.
So we have the two categories. So emerging is an entrepreneur that's just getting started within whatever their industry is. And so we like to highlight, where did you start? What was your vision? And where are you going? Because one of the things that we want to try to do is provide inspiration. And the second category is enterprising. So an entrepreneur who is enterprising has at least $250,000 in sales. So we want to have a balance between where you can start and where you can end up. And so that's kind of how we're focusing. And so making sure that people understand that entrepreneurship is just not about the $1 million that you make, but it's about the process that you go through in order to get to the $1 million. And a lot of people think that, you know, once they become successful, there was nothing else that happened prior to that. And so we need to let people know that there is a process and that you're going to have failures. You're going to have obstacles. So there are things that you're going to have to overcome as an entrepreneur, and that it is really not easy being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. What on your end, and I don't want you to, I know you can't like pick a favorite, but give us maybe one or two of the stories that have inspired you recently. Give us a little bit of a teaser on some of those.
Well, because the Nashville publication is really more of a highlight to those emerging enterprise entrepreneurs, I think I'm going to use a story from the Memphis publication. And I'll say that recently we featured Keith Dillahunt, who is an entrepreneur in Memphis. And so he is a broker. And so his story, he became an entrepreneur because he kept getting laid off with his jobs. And so he had climbed the corporate ladder. And so then he got to a point where he was laid off. And so because he had to transition into entrepreneurship, he decided that he wanted to take a risk on himself. And so that's how he got into entrepreneurship. So I think that that's kind of like, you know, you don't really start out wanting to be an entrepreneur, but you're forced to do it. And that's the kind of thing that a lot of us are put into entrepreneurship in that way, is that we don't think that, you know, we're going to be an entrepreneur, but, you know, we may not be able to get the promotion on the job. And so we decide that, okay, we really want to develop our skills and use our talents and gifts. And so we try to encapsulate that into entrepreneurship.
How has going about writing and putting this together and interviewing the entrepreneurs and getting to know their story and their insight and lessons learned, how has that made you a stronger business owner and business leader and entrepreneur yourself?
Well, I do have a team of freelance writers that do gather stories. And so I normally give out assignments because I'm trying to have continuity and consistency with the magazine. So we do have some different focus areas. But I have learned so much about entrepreneurship and just about people during this 3-year process and actually understanding what some of the challenges really have been. You know, we're talking about this through the Black Lives Matter, you know, framework now, and how we know that entrepreneurs or African-American entrepreneurs don't have the same access to resources and capital. And so I've actually been learning about that. So now it's like a good time for people to really understand that the data already exists as to why those disparities exist. And now we need to come up with an action plan on how we're going to address those disparities.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting just, you know, looking at your website, the difference of on average 58,000 for a Black-owned business compared to almost 546, so over $500,000 in terms of what they're able to generate revenue-wise on average. And so a big disparity. And then going back to your point of just access to capital and resources and relationships, there's so many things that obviously we as a community, as a nation, as a world need to do a much better job of creating justice and opportunity.
Yes. And I think that, you know, understanding that, you know, African-Americans are behind. All right. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to become more educated. But then there have to be opportunities that are available for us to take advantage of. We have the same mindset. We have the same ideas, and we can produce the same type of product or service. But we just have to be able to have those relationships in place where we can actually capitalize and maximize off of what we're trying to do.
Talk about relationships, because I think this is something that many times people kind of glance over, but the reality is even for entrepreneurs, relationships are such a powerful key for success, both in terms of relationships for opportunities, for new growth, for sales and those sort of customer driven, but also too in terms of just investment, mentorship, having somebody who can help guide from a legal perspective, operations, finance. Relationships really are an integral part of success, especially for entrepreneurs.
Yes. And one of the things that I've tried to establish, you know, as a public relations person is to develop relationships. So before I ask anybody to do anything for me, I always give first. And so that's why I wanted to feature entrepreneurs, to let them know, you know, that I want to invest in you first. And so when you invest in people, then you're opening up that relationship where, you know, they're willing to do something when you need them. So I've developed a lot of great relationships through the magazine publication. So when I need someone to be a contributor, or I need some information on a, you know, something that I'm working on, then I'm able to get that feedback from that individual. So relationships are very important. You know, sometimes our relationships don't work, you know, you don't mesh with everyone, but, you know, I try to make sure that the magazine is, that I position the magazine where I'm always trying to make sure that it's going to be positive and that I'm going to be able to use those relationships when I need them in the future.
We're talking with Paula Anderson, founder and president, Writing by Design Media. And give us on your end some easy ways to work with you, to help. I know you mentioned freelance writers is something that you're looking at and always kind of having a good arsenal there of talent. And then obviously raising awareness, getting stories kind of in the pipeline. How can we help?
Well, one of the things that you can do is to go to our website and actually become a subscriber. So because we're going to be producing a magazine 4 times a year, so you'll be a subscriber for your particular area. So you'll be a Memphis subscriber. So you don't have to actually subscribe 4 times a year. You can just subscribe for a quarter, because we want it to be kind of like we're not asking 4 times a year for you to pay money. So you can do a subscription. And also, like I said, we're going to be advertising small businesses. I think during this time of COVID-19, everyone is having to pivot and try to think about new ways to reach their customers. And so advertising has not been something that we've just kind of focused on, because, you know, social media is a way for us to do advertising. You know, it doesn't cost a whole lot of money, but you still want to make sure that you get your product or service in the right person's eye and view. And so advertising is still something that is very beneficial to entrepreneurs. So on that end, and then just if you want to just get access to our content and just read the stories that we provide, you can become an online subscriber. And all of that can be done through the MemphisSmallBusinessQuarterly.com website. So that's our primary platform right now.
Talk about where you ultimately want to go. What are your long-term goals with this? Obviously, you know, you're already in the middle of expanding, but what's your long-term goal?
Well, actually, I'm looking at some magazines that have been successful, and one of them is Black Enterprise. So they're celebrating their 50th year. And of course, the founder of that magazine recently passed, but I've been looking at some of the things that they're doing to actually connect with their readers. And so not only do they offer just, you know, the print publication, but they offer some events. And so we would like to kind of have a more of an expanded version of media products. So we have the print magazine. We do have our Candid Conversations with Entrepreneurs, which is our YouTube channel. And then we want to have some networking events. So we want to connect with our readers and our subscribers in a more tangible way, not just, you know, sending out an email, but having some type of resource where they can physically connect with us. And we know with COVID-19, you know, everything is virtual, but, you know, there's a way that we can figure out how we can still have that one-on-one or face-to-face connection.
Talk about more in detail the videos, because you mentioned that, and that's a major piece of what you do as well.
Yes. So last year we launched Candid Conversations with Entrepreneurs. And so the goal behind that was to have like a video version so people can listen and watch. We know that people have different learning styles, so everybody doesn't like to read. So we're just trying to capture our audience to fit what they like to, how they like to consume content. And so we featured several entrepreneurs in Memphis. We featured Nubian Simmons, who is the owner of the Pink Bakery. We just recently featured Kevin Harris. He's a information technology expert in the Nashville area. And we did one on a married couple who has a counseling service. And so it's designed to help couples, you know, understand about marriage. And so so we try to produce content with the YouTube channel that's going to just give entrepreneurs more exposure, more advertising, so that people can know that they actually exist. We know that for traditional media outlets, it's very expensive to advertise on like a major network. And so while we're not, you know, of that scale, we still want to be able to highlight those businesses. And one of the things that we do want to offer, not for the businesses that we feature, but if there are other businesses that want to be a sponsor, then that will be another avenue for us to pursue.
Well, go ahead and wrap up and talk again about the website, social media. Where do we go to connect in and make sure that we're subscribing and we're in the know?
So you can go to MemphisSmallBusinessQuarterly.com. We have several links. There's a tab to our Candid Conversations where you can subscribe to that. And also there's an Emerging and Enterprising tab where you can complete the contact information so that we can follow up with you and add you to our mailing list. But we really are very excited about just launching this into the Nashville area because we really want to try to, like I said, expand what we're doing so that we can reach more entrepreneurs. And we're not trying to compete with any other entrepreneur organizations that are already that already exist. We just want to partner and just kind of provide another platform and another source for the entrepreneurs that they're already working with to be aware of what we're doing and how we can benefit and collaborate.
Paula Anderson, founder and president, Writing by Design Media, thank you for all you do and for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. It has been my pleasure to be here.
Lipscomb and Pitts Insurance is proud to power the City Current Radio Show. Our mission at Lipscomb and Pitts Insurance is to protect your business, employees, and family while enriching and impacting our community. As the Mid-South's largest privately held insurance agency, Lipscomb and Pitts worked with over 200 different insurance providers offering commercial, employee benefits, and personal insurance. If you're looking for a relationship based on performance, call 321-1000 or visit lpinsurance.com.